gonna ride on my motorcycle. And I don't wanna tickle. I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And I don't wanna die. Just wanna ride on my motorcycle. It was late last night, the other day, I thought I'd go up and see Ray. So I went up and I saw Ray, but there was only one thing Ray could say. It was, I don't want a pickle, just want to ride on my motorcycle. I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And I don't wanna die. Just wanna ride on my motorcycle. Oh. You ought to sing it with me. You don't have to sing it. I'd rather that you didn't sing it, you know, until you learned it. But for those of you that might have heard it before, we'll sing it right now. Here's a little introduction for you. Wasn't enthusiastic. So I'm gonna have to tell you about how I came by to write the song, and maybe you'll get a little more enthused about it. It was about the time that I was doing 150 miles an hour on my motorcycle, going down a mountain road playing my guitar. Well, it was a mountain road to beat all mountain roads. It was winding and curvy and straight ahead. On one side there was a mountain, and on the other side there wasn't nothing. It was a big bend. And I was going so fast, and of course, like I said, I was playing my guitar, and playing your guitar on a motorcycle means that there's more wind pressure on this side of the guitar than on that one, because there's more of a guitar over here than there is over there. So I went off the road on that side. Well, I was going 150 miles an hour, and I was sideways 150 miles an hour, and 500 feet down, it was a big cliff. I was going all of those places at once, and it was kind of scary, and I thought that that was going to be it, so I decided to write one last song to the world. And so I wrote, I don't want a pickle, just want to ride on my motorcycle. I don't want to tickle, I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And then the hard part, I don't want to die, just want to ride on my motorcycle. Well, I much rather would have had a pickle at the time, but I thought I'd leave that to musical historians, you know, people like that, Alan Lomax and all those people. They can have fun figuring out. But meantime, I was writing the song, and I was going 150 miles an hour sideways and 500 feet down. It's pretty quick all at the same time. And I thought that was it. But as fate would have it, I didn't die. I landed on the top of a police car. He died. I drove away on the road he was on. Came into town at 175 miles an hour. I was still playing my guitar. Jumped off the bike, and the bike went around the corner by itself, went up on the stand by itself, and turned itself off. I walked up to my friend. He was standing there eating pickles. I said, "Hi, what's happening?" He said, "Nothing." So you have to sing it with that kind of feeling. Like you just killed a cop. For. Got a lot more this evening here. Here's that introduction again. Wait, that wasn't good enough at all. Here. You gotta come right in with feeling. Let's try that again now. I don't want a pickle. Just wanna ride on my motorcycle. And I don't want a tickle. I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. I was on my bike. I run into a friend named Mike. I run into a friend named Mike. Mike no longer has a bike. He cries, "I don't want a pickle. Just want to ride on my motorcycle. Strings on here. Wait a second now. You don't know what version I'm gonna do. And there's nobody that likes all three versions. Thank you. play it for a while here. I want to get into it myself. Because when you play it for 2 years, three times a night, you got to do a lot to get into it. I'll just be playing it for about 30 minutes here. I was kidding about that 30 minutes. By the way, this song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant, but Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. That's why I called the song Alice's Restaurant. We're just waiting for it to come around here and we'll start the song. Restaurant that we're going to hear tonight is called the Alice's Restaurant Massacre Part 2, as opposed to Part 1 of the Massacre, or as opposed to the Alice's Restaurant Around the World, or as opposed to the Alice's Restaurant Massacre, or as opposed to the Alice's Restaurant Multicolored Rainbow Roach Fair, or any other version of Alice's Restaurant that you might have heard about or seen for yourself or been into yourself, or any other kind of various assorted pies. Assorted pies, by the way, is when you go into a restaurant and it says assorted pies for a quarter and you order one assorted pie. We're just waiting for it to come around here again. One day, when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. Yes, friends, it was 2 Thanksgivings ago, 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when we went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be, seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room down there, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. And when we got up there, we found the place full of garbage and decided that it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage and put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. But when we got there, there was a sign and a chain across the road saying closed on Thanksgiving. Well, we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset to try to find another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one, though, until we came to a side road, and off on the side of the side road was a 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile was better than two small piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that could not be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next day, when we got a phone call from Officer Obie, the cop. Now, Obie's not his real name, we just call him Obie, but he's still a cop, and he got on the phone, he said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Wondered if you knew anything about it." I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, I sure do, and I cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." Now, after speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, he finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said we had to go down and pick up the garbage. But first, we had to have a conference with him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus, took the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police officer station there. And the first thing was that he could have given us a medal each for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it anyhow. And the other possibility, of course, was that he could have bawled us out, told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted on. Yes, we were both immediately arrested, handcuffed. I said, "Obie, I don't see how I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." We sat in the back seat there and we drove to the quote scene of the crime, unquote. And I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this actually happened. They have three stop signs, two police officers, and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years. And everybody wanted to get in the newspaper stories about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around for the last 25 years. They were taking plaster, tire track, fingerprints, dog sniffing prints. They took 27 8x10 colored glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. They took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, southwest corner of the garbage, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal at the scene of the crime, we was permitted to go back to the jail, and Obie said he was gonna put us in a cell. He said, "Kid, I'm gonna put you in a cell. Give me your wallet and your belt." I said, "Obie, I can understand you wanting my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for?" Said, "Kid, we don't want any hangings." Said, "Obie, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering?" Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was making sure, cause he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the roll out the bars, slide down the roll through the bars, having to skate and get away. And Obi's making sure, alright. And it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? The song about Alice. Alice came by and she bailed us out of jail with a few nasty words to Obi on the side. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next day when we had to go to court. Well, we walked in, sat down. Obi came in with his 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back, each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us, and sat down. A man came in and said, all rise. We stood up, Obi stood up with his 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back, each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And the judge walked in with a senile dog. And the judge sat down, the dog sat down, we sat down. Obi looked at the senile dog. And then it is 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us, and began to cry. Yes, friends, Obi came to the realization that it was a blind judge and he couldn't look at the 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. And while Obi was crying on the bench, we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow. It was a typical case of American blind justice, and there wasn't much Obi could do about it. But that's not what I came to tell you about tonight. Just thought I'd mention it in passing. Came to talk about the draft. Now, we have a building here in New York City on Whitehall Street where you walk in to have your physical examination. Yeah, you walk in, they inspect you, inject you, detect you, infect you, neglect you, and select you in one day. I went in there, had to be there 7 o'clock in the morning. One morning I got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best that morning when I went in to have my physical examination. I wanted to look like the all-American boy from New York. I mean, I wanted to feel. I wanted to be the all-American kid from Coney Island. And friends, when I walked in that morning, I was the all-American kid from Coney Island, cause I was hung down, rung down, swung down, around, hung up. I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper. It said, kid, see the psychiatrist in room 604. I walked up the stairs, I walked in, closed the door, said, shrink, I want to kill. 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 I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. Kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill, kill, kill. Till he started jumping up and down, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill, kill. Until the sergeant came over, pinned a medal on me, sent me down the hall, saying, you're our boy. Things was getting worse. I was proceeding on down the hall, getting inspected, injected, detected, infected, neglected, selected, accepted, dissected, all kinds of sected. Yes, friends, things were going bad, and they was inspecting every part of me, and they was leaving no part of me untouched. Yes, friends, I was walking around, and an all-American boy from Coney Island was about to be sent to Saigon. I proceeded around, passing every kind of examination there was to pass. I passed every test they had to test me on, and the bus was waiting outside for me, and my hand was raised, they was about to swear me in, but I had to go see one more man on the list. Just one more man in the whole building at Whitehall Street. And I walked in, I sat down, I said, "Man, what do you want to see me about?" He said, "Sit down, kid. We only have one more question to ask you." Have you ever been arrested? And I proceeded to tell him the story of the Alice's Restaurant Massacre, just like it happened, and he stopped me right there, and he said, "Boy, did you ever go to court?" And I commenced to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures, and he stopped me again. He said, "Boy, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W." "Now, boy." Over to the bench there. And that Group W is where they put you if you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There was mother stabbers, mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. There was father rapers sitting on a bench next to me, and one of the meanest, ugliest, nastiest, mother stabbing, mother raping, father stabbing, father rapingest of them all was coming over to me, and he looked me in the eye, and he sat down next to me, and he said, "Kid, what'd you get?" I said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage." And the sergeant came over, and he had a piece of paper in his hand, and he held out the piece of paper, and he said, "Kids, this piece of paper's got 37 27 17. We want to know. We want to know the details of the crime, the time of the crime, and any other kind of thing. Got a certain tune about the crime. Want to know the arresting officer's name, district court she's arrested at, and any other kind of information. Got the tune about the crime, the court she's located at, and how many sentences you served in the sentence." And he talked for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And everybody's having a wonderful time, and I wrote down the master creed just like it happened, with the 52-piece orchestra and a 4-part harmony, and everything was just fine, and until I turned over to the other side of the piece of paper. And there on the other side of the piece of paper, all by itself in the middle of the other side, in parentheses, underlined, quotated, and capitalized, read the following words: "Kid, have you rehabilitated yourself?" Went over to the sergeant. I said, "Sergeant, you've got a lot of goddamn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. The reason that I'm sitting on a bench that says Group W is 'cause you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, children in villages after being a litter bug." He said, "Kid, we don't like your kind. We're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington. and friends somewhere in Washington, enshrined in a folder is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason that I'm singing you the song tonight is 'cause you may know somebody in a similar situation. You might be in a similar situation. And if you are, there may be only one thing left to do. Walk into the shrink wherever you are, say shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. Just imagine that right now in your head, in the middle of your mind. I mean, somebody walking in, singing a bar at Alice's restaurant and walking out. Now, you wouldn't take them. But imagine two people in your head right now, walking into the same shrink at the same time, singing one bar of the same song in harmony. You may think they're both faggots and won't take either of them. But imagine three people in your head now, in your own head right now, three people walking in, singing a bar at Alice's restaurant, walking out, friends. They may begin to suspect that it could possibly be some kind of organization. But that's not going to do much good, just three people walking in. Or two or one person walking in. Imagine, just think of a fantastic figure of 50 people. I'm talking about 50 people walking in, singing a bar Alice's restaurant at different times on the same day to the same shrink, all singing the same verse of the same song. They're gonna suspect that it's some kind of movement. And friends, that's what it is. It's the Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you have to do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar. So we're just waiting for it to come around here. Here it is. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. That's horrible. You know, if you want to end a war, you have to sing loud. And if you don't want to go, you have to sing louder. And I've been singing this song now for about a half hour. And I can sing it for another half hour. 'Cause I'm not tired. Or proud. So we'll wait for it to come around again. This time with four-part harmony and feeling. Here it is. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, excepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant. All right. I know you like it. After a half hour, you can't help but like it. I'll sing you a long song now. This one's a Christmas carol. Now, I don't usually sing Christmas carols, so But it's, you know, getting near shopping time, and everybody's got to get in the mood for it. And so I would dig to sing you this Christmas carol called The Paws of Mr. Claus. Notice the fantastic flat picking in the right hand. An unbelievable hand pattern in the left hand. Can you get that over there? We'll just play it for a while, yeah. I just came out to show you my hat. It's got a feather in it. There's not much else I have to show you at the moment except my shades and a few odds and ends. Broken pair of glasses. Oh, yes. Bought a guitar yesterday. It says professional's attention. So I immediately looked at it. Says this guitar has been adjusted for professional usage, light pick action. Yeah, about that. Which enables the guitarist to fully develop and use his technique. If you use a hard stroke and do not wish to change to a light pick action, raise the bridge slightly to eliminate string rattle. We advise the use of Gibson Hi-Fi strings for low action settings. Doesn't seem to be too much else in here. Oh yeah, etc. It was a horrible night last night. Terrible day. Get in there. Etc. Takes your pain away, wherever it is. Amazing stuff. I took it during the first set, and I was all right during the second. It's horrible during the first, though. It's got 12-something kind of tablets in here. It's called the Extra Strength Pain Reliever. I just thought I'd tell you about it, since I'm about to have a drink. But you can think about it for a while. I'll leave it there. You can all look at it. And you can have fun till the next set, maybe. Or come back tomorrow some other time. Well, I'll take them. I don't trust anybody around the village here. See what I have to leave here. A penny. Being the capitalist that I am, who's that on there? Lincoln. He was a groovy cat. You could stare. Oh, I'll put him up here somewhere. He's in the middle of the chair. You can sit on Lincoln anytime. Have a good night. And don't do too much. And if you're going to do a lot, don't get caught. And if you know how to feel bad for you. But I haven't been around, so I don't know who's got one. So I couldn't help you out. But whatever it is, you know, you're doing. Be groovy. Have fun.